Now, the Fantastic Mr. Fox is unusual for a Roald Dahl story because it's about animals, not children. As NPR's Elizabeth Blair reports, some of the best movie adaptations are made by filmmakers who share Mr. Dahl's understanding of children's fears.
It's almost unbearable what Roald Dahl's children endure. James is an orphan forced to live with his evil aunts.
I'll get these stupid dreams out of your head
and get back to work.
Augustus Gloop falls into a chocolate river and gets sucked up a pipe.
Into marshmallows in 5 seconds.
And Matilda Wormwood, a brilliant little girl who loves to read, is tortured by her parents.
Listen, you little wiseacre. I'm smart, you're dumb. I'm big, you're little. I'm right, you're wrong. And there's nothing you can do about it.
But these same children almost always triumph in the end. James lives happily ever after in the pit of the giant peach, and Matilda gets the loving home she deserves.
I certainly see myself totally on the side of children when I write books for children.
Roald Dahl from a British documentary about his life.
It's very important, this, because most adults have forgotten how children are thinking. You really do get into it. It's quite fun.
Wicked fun. And filmmakers love it. But for the privilege of adapting one of his stories, they must first get permission from the Roald Dahl estate and prove that they could think like a child the way Dahl could. Only a handful of screenplays pass the test. Lissy Dahl is Roald's widow.
I cannot tell you the number of screenplays we have had written for various other books, and you just know it's nowhere near it.
Because it doesn't have the what?
The wit and the charm and the spooky and the...
Director Wes Anderson got the nod for Fantastic Mr. Fox, and so did Henry Selick for James and the Giant Peach.
I'm a huge fan of Roald Dahl. He's one of the few adults who really understood the nature of children and what they want, what sorts of stories, what their fears are.
To turn the story of James and the Giant Peach and his eccentric insect friends into a movie, Selick spent time at Gypsy House, Roald Dahl's estate in the English countryside.
One of the most thrilling moments was simply to see the original first draft of James the Giant Peach in Roald Dahl's handwriting when everything was different. It wasn't a peach, it was a cherry. He'd change things along the way to make it better. And it gave me a little sense of liberty in making some of the changes I felt necessary in making the film.
The Dahl estate gave Selick license to make changes because they were confident he would keep the unusual spirit of Dahl intact. Selick made the centipede from Brooklyn.
Teach you to mess with me, you overgrown sardine!
And made the spider exotic with a Polish accent.
Everything we did was part of the brilliant plan of James.
There's a little tweaking that always goes on when you're trying to make things fit into a kind of a dramatic construct.
Robin Zweikord and her husband Nick Kazan loved the story Matilda so much, they co-wrote a screenplay on spec and submitted it to the Dahl estate. Lissy Dahl.
They were so desperate to have it. And we said, well, all right, have a go.
In the movie's opening scene, the Wormwoods are leaving the hospital with their newborn baby, Matilda, already complaining about her. Mr. Wormwood is carrying the infant like she's a gym bag.
What a waste of time.
And painful.
And expensive. $9.25 for a bar of soap.
Well, I had to take a shower, Harry.
$5,000? I'm not paying it. What are they going to do, repossess the kid?
This classic Roald Dahl scene was never in the book, and it was a liberty the filmmakers could take because they understood the world Dahl created. Screenwriter Robin Zweikord.
My feeling about adaptation in general is that if you move simply in lockstep with the novel page by page, you might as well read the book. That the idea in an adaptation is that you're making something slightly other.
And for his widow, Lissy Dahl, the whole point in making these movies is to attract more readers to Roald Dahl's stories. Elizabeth Blair, NPR News.
From NPR News, this is Morning Edition, directed by Claudette Lindsay Haberman, Joel Riddle, Nicole Beemsterboer, and Van Williamson. The production staff includes Steve Monroe, Vince Pearson, Emily Oxenschlager, Asma Khalid, Leah Scarpelli, and Joanna Stein.
With Ben Bergman and Melissa Yeager-Miller at NPR West. The director of programming, sometimes referred to here as the queen of all she surveys, is Ellen MacDonald. Morning Edition's theme music was written by B.J. Lederman and arranged by Jim Pugh. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montagne.